That's something you don't pass up, like, ever. We're not supposed to have conversations like this.
Yes, we are. We just don't have them when we're sober and at work, usually.
Her phone rang and she glanced at the screen. Makeup, hair, and nails will be arriving at your condo at 5. Zach, his name is Zach, by the way, and Norm will be there at 7. We now had over 100 agents working at our office. It was impossible to remember all their names and faces, but I was making an effort to get better at both. Zach, Norm, be home at 5 for makeup, right? She put the phone up to her ear and covered the speaker with her hand.
I have to take this, but it's all in your calendar, and I'll text you to remind you.
She drifted out of the room. I swept my fingers through the layers of my hair and glanced at the dress. Maybe I'd wear my hair up for the party to show off my shoulders, with a dark, smoky eyeshadow and a lip color that had a bit of pop. Reed loved when I wore it down and straight. Maybe that meant I should curl my locks into beach waves instead. I wondered what Derek's preference was.
Sorry, I'm going to have to call you back,
Bree said from somewhere outside my door. Her voice changed.
Who are you looking for?
Frankie Jordan, a man replied.
Frankie's office is right in there. Please follow me, she told him. Frankie, we're coming in with a delivery, a big one.
The delivery man placed two massive bouquets on the shelf in front of the windows. He placed a case of wine next to them.
Sign here, please.
I scribbled my name across the screen of his tablet and watched Bree walk across the room, picking up the card that stuck out of the first bouquet.
It's for me.
With the biggest smile, she started reading out loud.
I really look forward to working with you, Bree. Welcome to the team.
She used the card to fan her blushing cheeks.
It's from Derek.
She removed the second card and handed it to me. You were meant for this job, Derek.
I told you, she said,
reading the inscription over my shoulder.
Big hands, big bouquets, big everything, I bet.
I finally looked up.
He hasn't even signed the contract yet.
It looks like he has in his mind.
She walked back to the shelf and pulled out one of the bottles.
This is the same wine we drank at the restaurant. He must have asked the waiter what he had served us, or checked the bottles we left on the table. Observant and thoughtful.
Derek didn't seem like the kind of guy who would send gifts unless he was certain I would like it. The flowers were a good guess. The arrangement was at least 4 feet high, with the most exotic buds blooming in all different shades of pink. Some were as deep as rose, and others as bright as neon. The vase was made of mosaic glass in the same colors. Breeze was just as stunning, but in varied tones of blue.
Blue's my favorite color, she said. He doesn't know that, right? This is just a coincidence.
Pink wasn't my favorite. Still, there had to be a reason he had chosen those colors. I wondered what it was.
I wouldn't put it past him.
You think he's that good?
I think it's possible.
He might have been the most casually dressed man I knew, his wardrobe and grooming not at all meshing with the detail-oriented nature of his personality. But his demeanor wasn't casual at all, and his stare radiated intensity. I'd never been handcuffed or spanked, but when he spoke, when his gaze traveled over my body, I felt like he was doing both. With his mouth. With his eyes.
Good God, Bree clucked. He's even more perfect than I thought.
She cupped her hands around a flower that looked like a tail jutting out of two rounded cheeks.
If you need me, she said, leaving with her bouquet in her arms. I'll be writing Derek a long thank you note.
I needed to do the same.
12. Derek. Will forwarded me the email confirmation from Back Bay Courier, the delivery company he had hired. A digital image of Frankie's signature showed at the bottom of the screen. Bree's thank you note came in right behind it. She was a sweet girl, a perfect assistant for Frankie. Her direct personality offsets her boss's conservative one. The flowers were a safe gift, a large bouquet for a generous contract that would make her smile, but not ostentatious to the point of turning her off. They weren't personal, but the wine was. That turned out to be a more challenging purchase. It had taken a few $100s before Will was able to persuade the restaurant's manager to look up her bill. She was worth it. She was worth a lot more than that. And I would give her more. Silk and lace lingerie that would bind that savory body, heels that would frame those delicate feet. But those wouldn't come until later. Not until a majority of the units were sold or at least under contract. That gave me the chance to take my time with her, to encourage that slow desire to build within her. Her cheeks a permanent flush from the continuous attention I would give her. It wouldn't be long before she'd be begging for me. Then, once I knew she was ready, when my dick throbbed to be milked by that snug pussy, I would have her. It would only be one night, that's all I'd allow, but it would be exactly how I envisioned it. The setting, the lighting, what she'd wear, or not wear. I would control the fantasy, and part of that was ensuring every single one of her needs would be met. Not just met, exceeded. She'd be trembling from the intensity of the countless orgasms I'd give her, from so much satisfaction happening between her legs. She wouldn't be able to hold them open when I was finished. My computer chimed, shaking the image of Frankie's smooth, soft cunt from my mind. It was an email, with her name on it. From Jordan, Frankie, to Block, Derek, sent April 19th, 2:07 p.m. Subject, thank you. Derek, the flowers are really, really beautiful. I've never seen anything quite like them. Thank you, and thank you for the wine as well. The Pinot Noir you sent is one of my favorites. I suspect you know that already. It's all too much, really, but most definitely appreciated. I didn't think it was possible, but you've made my day again. Frankie. It had been 2 hours since she had received the delivery. Frankie wasn't as hasty as Bree. She was careful, her response well-crafted and thought out. We hadn't even started yet, but it was too tempting not to try to warm her, inspire that slow desire from a distance. From Block, Derek, to Jordan, Frankie, sent April 19th to 11 p.m. Subject, does that mean, ... You've changed your mind about dinner tomorrow night? From Jordan, Frankie to Block, Derek, sent April 19th to 13 p.m. Subject, unfortunately, no. Ordinarily, I'd be having dinner with you, as my clients always take precedence over social functions. Considering that it's an industry party, it's much different from most, and the only reason I'm making this exception. I promise. We're on for the following night. Should I pick the place? Frankie. P.S. The extra night does give me a little more time to plan, and I'll need the time if we're going to break Boston records. Winky face. She didn't cave, and that made me want her even more. And that wink, I fucking loved when she flirted with me. From Block, Derek, to Jordan, Frankie, sent April 19th to 16 p.m. Subject, dinner. I like your promises. I'll pick you up at your office at 8 p.m.
13. Frankie. I looked up from the middle of the mattress and reached for the pillow that was several feet from my head, dragging it toward me and tucking it under my chin. I needed something to hold, to clutch and grab, to share this exquisite pleasure with. With what had to be more than 175 pounds of solid, hard weight on my back, breathing wasn't easy. It didn't matter. All that was coming from my mouth were gasps and moans, and they came rapidly. His slick hardness moved in and out, quickly during certain beats, slow and teasing during others,
He filled me completely. His size was more than I was used to, which only escalated my sensitivity. I didn't know how Reed had widened and lengthened so much since the last time we had sex, but my body appreciated every one of his long, deep strokes, every twist of his hips, every sudden jerk when he dragged out to the very tip and glided back in again. My orgasm threatened to peak. I didn't think I could hold it for much longer. But then he suddenly shifted positions, changing his rhythm, and the build had to start from the beginning again. I was on my knees now, my fingers digging into the bed to keep me steady. With my ass tilted higher in the air, he felt even bigger, fuller. It was his size that kept me from breathing freely now, and the depth he was able to reach. He leaned forward and squeezed my nipple, and a scream escaped my lips, though it wasn't from pain. Surprisingly, I liked how it felt. A tingling spread over my breast before he yanked it again. Then he moved to the other one, doing the same, but twisting even more this time.
"You're so tight," he said.
I bit my bottom lip.
"And so fucking wet."
Goosebumps rose over my skin from the sound of his voice. His voice? His voice was deeper, rawer than Reed's. Not Reed. I glanced over my shoulder and stopped. He was licking my back. His scruff was so rough on my skin. Scruff I knew belonged to Derek.
"Your skin tastes as good as your pussy."
He dragged more of his coarse stubble over me, then wrapped his hand around my hair and pulled me up. My back slammed against his hard chest.
"Derek!"
His mouth heated the outside of my ear.
"Do you like my cock inside you?"
I tried to pull away, but he stopped me.
"Answer me."
His hips rocked forward again, sending him even deeper. I couldn't stop the gasp that came out of me.
"Yes."
"Say it louder."
"Yes," I yelled. "I like your cock inside of me."
His hand dove between my legs, circling my clit at the same speed with which he was grinding into me.
"Every time you see me," he growled, "I want you to think about how good it feels when I'm fucking you."
My orgasm was so close. "Derek, I..." The build was spreading through my navel, up my chest and down my thighs. I tilted my hips to meet him with each stroke.
"Tell me you'll do that, Frankie."
My eyes closed.
"I will."
"Good girl."
His hips slowed, his fingers paused.
"It's not time for you to come yet."
"Please,"
I begged. I pushed against his hand, trying to give my clit some friction as I shifted my hips to ride his dick.
"I need to come."
"I can feel how badly you need it."
His teeth nipped along the side of my neck.
"But you're going to have to wait."
He pulled out of me completely, his hand vanishing from my cleft, the heat from his body dissipating.
"No,"
I shouted. The sound of my voice caused my eyes to burst open. Sunlight trickled into my room, showing that the sheets and blanket had fallen to the floor. I lay in the middle of the mattress. A thick layer of sweat covered my skin. My own two fingers were buried deep inside me. I closed my eyes again to finish what Derek had started. I didn't have to search my mind for a fantasy. His face was there, in the darkness, his eyes piercing me, and his dick fucking me ravenously. I sat in a chair in the living room, while one girl curled my hair and another touched up my blush. They'd been primping me for over an hour, so I knew the time was getting close. Really close. Especially when the phone next to my condo door began to ring. It was a line solely dedicated for building-related matters. The security system, emergency call box, how the personnel downstairs notified me when a visitor arrived. I stared at the handset like it was my enemy.
"Zach must be here,"
Bree said, rushing over to answer it. Now that my date had arrived, there was nothing stopping me from going to the broker's ball. the same place Reed was going to be. I took a gulp of wine, then another. Then I drained the rest of my glass. Reed Reynolds was the top mortgage broker in the city. We'd worked together many times in the years since our breakup, sharing clients, attending the same closings, referring each other business. In all that time, we'd never been in a social setting that gave us space to talk about anything other than business. I knew that could easily change at the ball.
"Okay," Bree said into the phone. "Please send him up."
She moved back over to me and poured a shot worth of wine into my glass. It was one of the bottles Derek had sent us. I'd given half the case to her and kept the rest.
"Slam it, will ya? He's going to be here in a second."
"It tastes too good to..."
"Slam it! You need it. Trust me on this."
She was right. I'd been on edge all day, my anxiety getting worse when she and the team of girls had arrived to do my prep work. I tilted my head back and tried to keep the glass from smudging my lips.
"Perfect. Now close your eyes," she said. "They're almost done."
More gloss was added, and something was sprayed over my eyelids. Someone stuck a pin into my hair and misted perfume over my chest and behind my ears.
"You can open your eyes now," she said.
One of the girls had brought a full-length mirror and had rested it against the back of the couch. Bree stood next to it. A smile filled her face.
"Ladies, I'm in awe at what you've done here. Frankie, come look. You're going to be very impressed."
None of the women who had helped me get ready had allowed me to see their progress. I had no idea what colors they had used on my face, or how much of my hair they had curled or waved. Until now.
"Wow."
"I know," she said. "You're always a hottie, but tonight even more so." I inched closer to the mirror. Thick black liner framed my eyes, darkening my irises to gray now that they were accented with the light and dark silver shadow. The red lip stain matched my shoes and clutch. My nails had been painted black. The middle section of my hair had been clipped up and puffed above my forehead. The rest fell in smooth waves over my bare shoulders and down my back. "They did an amazing job," I said as I looked up to appreciate the women. They smiled back at me.
"But I feel naked."
There had been some changes made to the dress after Bree and I had stopped by the designer's studio for a fitting the night before. And they were changes I hadn't asked for. The V that cut in between my chest plunged down even farther. The fabric that hugged the sides of my breasts was pushing them closer together. And the bottom hem had been taken up a few inches. The result was much more cleavage and thighs. Bree was always trying to get me to show more of my body. I had a feeling she had requested these alterations especially for that purpose. I worked hard for my lean frame, and wasn't opposed to revealing some skin. But I was leery of how much I showed, where and when. Work monopolized my mind. My father's conservative approach echoed inside it. I would be attending what was, for all intents and purposes, a business event. So was displaying this much cleavage and leg really appropriate for tonight?
"Stop it,"
Bree said, standing behind me, staring at the same reflection.
"I know what you're thinking, and it's not too much, I promise."
"I don't know." She rested her hands on my shoulders and turned me around to face her. We were usually the same height, our 5'7" frames always equal in our heels. But tonight I towered over her as she wore flats.
"You have reservations, and I know why. But you need to let those go tonight. I want you to show Reed how badly he fucked up and what he lost because..."
She stopped to take a breath, her chin quivering, pain flickering across her eyes. There was often a hint of it in there, though most times it wasn't as obvious as it was now.
"Because I'm not able to do that to Cody."
She didn't have to say another word. "I'll wear it for you." The wine was bringing back the memories. Last year had been difficult on both of us. We'd both been hit with tragedies, and though they weren't at all similar, the hurt and devastation caused by each was just as deep. She had only been my assistant for a few weeks at that point, promoted from one of my part-time interns after graduating with her marketing degree. I was there when she received the phone call. A few weeks later, she was the first person I had called when I'd stumbled out of Reed's condo. Both incidents had changed our lives forever.
She lifted a length of hair off my shoulder and twirled it around her finger.
You really do look gorgeous. I look more exposed than usual, and that's okay. I glanced at the mirror again. Exposed, yes. And sexy. Sexier than I'd felt in a really long time, maybe even as long ago as the beginning of my relationship with Reed. I knew this dress would make me feel seductive, but I hadn't expected the feelings to be this strong. Still, that didn't change my fears about going to the party. It just eased my nerves about what I would be wearing. My phone chimed from inside my purse. Bree retrieved it from the table and handed it to me. It was a text from Anna. Try to have fun tonight, baby girl. I'll be thinking about you. XOXO. There was a knock at the door, which startled us both. Bree took my jacket off the couch and wrapped it around my shoulders, pulling my hair out from underneath. Are you ready? I paused for a second and nodded. Promise to call me in the morning to tell me all the gossip? I promise. She turned my head and did a last-minute check of my makeup. Reed is going to die when he sees you. I doubt that, I said, letting her take my hand and walk me to the door. Let's just hope he leaves me alone tonight. He'd been calling and texting frequently over the last few months, none of which I had returned. I had a feeling he'd try and make contact in person next. Bree opened the door for Zach. She was right, he was extremely attractive. He was also well-groomed and stylish, dressed in a sharp black suit, a starched white shirt, and light blue tie. Silver cufflinks peeked out the sleeves of his jacket.
Frankie! Hi! Wow! He said.
I laughed. I couldn't help it. Hello, Zach.
Are you ready? Or should we—
She's ready, Bree said, gently guiding me into the hallway. You two have fun tonight. I'm just going to help the girls clean up and then we're out of here. She winked and shut the door. I pushed the button for the private elevator that I shared with the penthouse on the other side of the building. I felt Zach's dark eyes on me, even when I stepped inside and hit the button for the lobby. I also felt his nervous energy, or maybe it was just my own. Was he fixing something on his jacket or just fidgeting? I couldn't tell. But I knew one of us needed to break the silence. Thanks for coming tonight, I said.
No, thank you. I never imagined I would be attending the ball within my first year.
He looked up at the ceiling.
Or getting to see one of the penthouses in this building, even though I didn't make it past the foyer.
Aside from Bree and a few previous assistants, I didn't bring any of our agents to my condo. He was somewhere not many people in my professional life would ever be. I wanted my life beyond work to stay private.
What drew you to this building?
He asked. My first large sale was in here. I fell in love with the building and knew I would live here one day. My fingers slid over my Rolex. The commission from that sale had paid for the watch. As soon as the penthouse was listed, I jumped on it.
Good move.
He paused, our eyes locking. For the briefest of seconds, I took him all in. I felt nothing.
I have one more year before I break any sales records, if I follow your path.
You'll get there, he grinned.
You're saying there's hope?
My first job at the agency was in the mailroom. Then I moved on to inventorying the office supplies, cleaning the bathrooms, and making photocopies for the agents, among many other shitty tasks. As long as you work hard, there's always hope. The way his grin turned into a full smile told me he appreciated hearing my history, although I suspected he already knew it. If he was anything like me, he checked his facts before coming.
I'll have to remember that when I'm dealing with an impossible seller.
When we arrived at the lobby, he held the elevator door open.
Please, after you.
My driver was parked outside, standing next to the back seat of the company's SUV.
Good evening, Ms. Jordan.
I gently squeezed Norm's shoulder. Thanks for working the night shift tonight.
It's my pleasure.
I climbed into the back. Zack slid in after me, the movement sending me a whiff of his cologne. It was a rich blend of mint and ginger, a strong and mature scent that tied along nicely with his short buzz cut and wool peacoat. I thought about how Reed's outfits coordinated even when he went to the gym, and he never left his condo unless he was shaved. Something told me he and Zack had that in common. Zack was all polished and stylishly dressed, safe and probably even a little predictable. So why did I feel nothing when I looked at him? And yet when Derek's untended face crossed my thoughts and my dreams, his appearance the polar opposite of any man I had ever desired, I woke up with my fingers inside of my sex, moaning his name into my pillow.
I hear this party is a little intense, Zack said.
I laughed. It was a much-needed release that lightened the feeling that plagued my chest. Anyone who is anyone will be there, so it can be. Just enjoy yourself and try to meet as many people as you can.
I've been trying to partner with someone in the mortgage industry, but I haven't had any luck. Maybe there's someone you can introduce me to.
I pulled the straps of my jacket, binding them even tighter, and tilted my face toward the window. We were only a few blocks from the party. I closed my eyes and visualized the glass of wine I'd order when I got there. Of course I could introduce him to someone. There was an abundance of people in that industry, and many of them would be there tonight. Out of everyone, Reed was the best. He wouldn't work with Zack, though. His sales weren't large enough for Reed's portfolio. But I was sure there was a broker in his office who would. I know just the person for you to meet, I said. I'd make the introduction, and then hopefully I'd be able to avoid Reed for the rest of the night. Norm parked outside the hall. Zack was the first to climb out, helping me onto the sidewalk. Once inside, he gave me his drink order and waited in line to check our coats while I went straight to the bar. Attendance had doubled, so the venue had been changed from last year's location. Even in the bigger space, it was still packed. The ballroom was even busier than the lobby. The music could barely be heard over all the chatter, and they'd probably drained the city of flowers, considering the hundreds of vases scattered everywhere. At least 10 bars were set up around the room. I chose the closest one.
What can I get you?
The bartender asked. His eyes dipped briefly to my chest. Pinot Noir, please.
And a vodka tonic. With a lime?
Yes, thank you. He placed a wine glass on the bar and began filling it. I wrapped my fingers around the stemless bottom and took a sip. Zack's drink followed, and I handed the bartender a tip. Doing a quick scan of the room, I hadn't even made the halfway mark before I paused on a face. A familiar one. One that peered back at me. In one hand, he held a short tumbler. The other ran through his milk chocolate curls. Derek? He nodded, seeming to read the question in my mind. His eyes narrowed, and it felt like he was looking directly through my dress, seducing my skin with the warmth of his gaze. People passed me, one tapping my shoulder, another saying something as she walked by. I didn't pay attention to them. Only one person in the room mattered at that moment. He was causing my face to flush. The heat spread down my chest, all the way to the valley between my breasts. I was back in my dream, only this time he was in the room with me. I broke from the intensity of his stare, dropping my eyes from his face. Even though this party had specified formal business attire, he was still so casually dressed. Simple dark slacks, black matte leather shoes, and a white button-down. No tie and no jacket. He hadn't even shaved, but at least his hair was gelled back and off his forehead. His style did nothing for me.
It was an eyesore, actually. So why did his coarse appearance have the same effect on me as his gaze? Why did I crave the feel of that scruff, of that messy beard scratching against the inside of my thighs? He was doing something to my body. He was making me feel a raw, passionate hunger that I'd never felt with Reed. I needed to be closer to him. My feet started moving, my desire building with each step. But my wariness was just as strong. He was my client. These feelings shouldn't have existed within me. I knew the wine wasn't making me any stronger, but I carried it anyway, walking toward him until a flash of blonde crossed my vision and brought me to a standstill. It was Julia. Her long golden hair whipped over Derek's shoulder as her hands wrapped around his arm. The way she touched him made my stomach churn. If he were a ticket holder, I would have seen his name on the list, which meant he'd come here with her. The thought made me feel even sicker. It was just like Juliet to invite a prospective client, try to get him naked and earn his business with whatever part of her body he wanted her to open. That must have meant she had no idea I'd landed the contract. In some regard, she had outsmarted me. Inviting him here was something I should have thought of. What surprised me was that he had accepted her invitation. Derek wasn't stupid. He had to have known it came with a certain expectation. Maybe that's what he wanted from her. Not a contract, just to get her into bed. Knowing how women like Julia operated, I was sure she wanted me to seethe in jealousy at seeing her on the arm of Boston's newest and currently most desirable developer. I wouldn't give her that satisfaction. I would, however, walk over and acknowledge my client. That was the right thing to do. Just as my feet started moving again, Zach joined me. He took his drink from my hand, clinked his glass against mine, and thanked me for ordering it for him. Smiling, I turned toward Derek, and immediately felt the air change. His eyes darkened, and his upper lip curled ever so slightly. Maybe I wasn't the only one who was jealous.
14. Derek. I saw Frankie the second she walked up to the bar. I could smell her in the air, the sweetness that drifted from her body, the tropical scent that came from her hair. I saw how my gaze affected her when our eyes connected. She was surprised to see me, excited. Her cheeks turned a deep pink, the color traveling all the way to her tits. She was aroused. I had her. And then I lost her. Julia had touched me on purpose to mark me in front of her enemy. Had Frankie not been watching, I would have laughed at her attempt and made sure she never did it again. Instead, I allowed her to cling, giving her enough satisfaction so she wouldn't cause a scene. Then I put several feet of distance between us. Frankie didn't see that part. She was too occupied, too busy with a man who clinked his glass against hers in a toast, a man who got that gorgeous woman to smile. Who the hell was he? She wasn't dating him. According to Will's research, she was single. Maybe she was only fucking him. Her tightly wound body told me it was more like he was selfishly fucking her. Just another amateur who didn't know her clit from her asshole. Regardless, he got to touch her, and I didn't. The thought of that made my hands clench. With the amateur at her side, she walked over to me. "What a surprise, Derek. I thought you said you weren't coming tonight." Her tone didn't match the look she had given me just a few moments ago. She was professional Frankie now. I was sure that had as much to do with the amateur as it did with Julia. "Good evening, Frankie," I replied. "My plans changed." "I'm glad they did." Her posture told me the wine in her hand wasn't her first glass. I wondered if the Pinot that warmed the inside of her navel was the one I'd had delivered to her office. "I'd like you to meet Zach Mucci," she added, pulling her eyes away from me to look at him. "Zach, this is... Zach," Julia said, drawing out his name. Her hand slipped through the air so she could be the first to touch him. She knew she wouldn't be getting my dick tonight. I'd made sure of that. She'd probably make it her mission now to suck his. I'm Julia Hayes, the... I know who you are, Zack said, and it's a pleasure. Oh, it is, Julia said. But how is it that I don't know you? Frankie looked past both of them. Her eyes were squarely on me. Though she was trying to keep an appropriate distance, she couldn't hide the desire that flickered across her face. As I was saying, she started again. Zack, this is Derek Block, a developer who just entered the Boston market. His hand reached for mine, his boyish eyes lighting up. It's an honor to meet you, Mr. Block. I'm a huge fan of your work. The use of natural materials and forms in your style are unlike anything I've ever seen. So Zack was a fan. I hadn't expected that. I agree, Frankie said. We're lucky to have Derek in our city, aren't we? Those red, glossy lips. I loved when she used them to talk about me. Zack, I said, shaking his hand. His grip was submissive. He probably stroked her with the same weak pressure. It was no wonder she was so tense. Julia's hand weaved around my arm again and clung to my bicep. So, Zack, she said, do you work in the industry? Frankie's eyes darkened when she noticed Julia's grip, and her breath came faster. That spark of jealousy told me everything I needed to know. I looked at Julia and Zack. I need to speak to Frankie alone. Frankie nodded. I'll see you in a few minutes, she told Zack. I stared at Julia. What? She asked. Me too? I had to stop myself from laughing as I pulled my arm out of her grasp. I'll be back. I moved over to Frankie, cupped her elbow, and whispered in her ear. You're coming with me. I led her toward the entrance of the balcony. Neither her feet nor her body showed any resistance. There were a few people smoking in the corner. We walked to the opposite side, to the end of the deck, where we could have a bit more privacy. Frankie leaned against the concrete barrier that enclosed the patio ledge. Her eyes slowly traveled over my face. She was thinking about me, taking me all in. I let her. She'd done most of the talking during our encounters. She needed to listen now, to hear what my body was telling her. It was only when she shivered that I finally broke the silence. I don't have a jacket to give you. I took a step closer. I can try to block the wind. My hands came to rest on the concrete ledge, my arms caging her. But I didn't touch her. Goosebumps covered her chest, trickling down her arms and up to her neck. I'm not cold. Her voice made my cock press against my zipper and my hands clench. I needed to touch her. You brought me out here, Derek. Her eyes finally met mine. What exactly do you plan on doing with me now? My teeth ground together. Did she want the real answer to that question?
15. Frankie. I waited for Derek to respond as his eyes bore into mine. His hands were pressed against the wall behind me, his arms narrowing in around me, constricting the already small space I stood in. The breath he exhaled turned to white clouds of steam from the difference in temperature. He may have been trying to block the chilly wind, but in his presence I didn't feel it. All I felt was him. It seemed he wasn't going to give me an answer. Maybe I should ask you a different question, I said. His expression remained steely, his stare intense. He looked ready to either reprimand or devour me. I should have feared the latter, but I didn't. What are you doing here with Julia?
She invited me.
I looked beyond him toward the ballroom, trying to hide my emotions. I have to say, I'm a bit surprised you showed up with another agent, considering you offered me a contract only yesterday.
You mean, you're surprised I've shown up with Julia?
It didn't matter where I looked. He could see right through me.
Is that because she has a reputation for sleeping with her clients?
Was his question based on assumption or experience? There was no indication in his eyes. She's not exactly discreet about it.
What Julia does with the men she works with is not my concern, he said firmly. She's not joining my team. You are.
I wasn't quite sure how to take that. I lifted the glass to my lips, the backs of my fingers skimming his chest. I wasn't at all prepared for how hard and muscular it felt. It looks bad that you're here with her, I told him. No one at this party knew Derek's attorney was reviewing my contract, or that we'd verbally agreed to work together. So maybe my concern wasn't really with how it looked. Maybe it was more about how seeing him with her made me feel.
But it's okay for you to bring a date.
His tone sounded just like mine. He's a colleague. I should have used the word employee. It could have kept him from questioning me further, but I wasn't ready for that. Part of me liked this jealous side of him.
I don't care who he is, Derek said. He's not me. It sends the same message.
Every exhale wafted more of his warm, minty breath over me. As it hit my skin, I imagined it being the tips of his fingers, caressing my cheeks and stroking the sides of my neck. You're missing my point.
I think you're missing mine, he said. I saw the way he looks at you.
You're wrong. His tongue swiped his lip. It was more enticing than I wanted it to be.
The second he gets you out of this party, he's going to put his hands on the inside of your thighs and slowly spread them apart.
I moved my arms behind me, shoving them into the concrete to stop my hands from shaking. Something in the back of my throat had begun to pound, and a tickling feeling was moving its way down my chest. How could I allow a client to say something like that to me, especially someone who could have such a deep impact on my career? You're wrong. I'm Zach's mentor. The only thing he wants from me is to learn this business. Why was I explaining this to him? Regardless, I don't spread anything for the men I work with. His chin tilted toward his chest, and he looked down at me.
No.
It was such a dominant question, as if he already knew the answer. This could have been another test, one I might fail if I told the truth. Reed and I had collaborated on multiple projects before we became a couple. I had a feeling Derek knew that. He knew everything, including what was happening inside my body. I had a suspicion he thought I'd be spreading my legs for him, not Zach. No. I spoke so quietly, but I knew he heard me, and his face told me he didn't believe my answer. Or maybe he knew it wouldn't apply to him. I hoped I had the strength to stop myself before things got that far. He was my client. I had to keep reminding myself of that. For some reason, the power that came with that status didn't seem to come with the same restrictions it had in the past. It held even less when his face moved closer to mine. We were standing on a balcony in the middle of the city, and yet his scent made me feel like we were in the woods somewhere. Cedar and autumn leaves, pine needles and warm spice. It corresponded to his style, his architecture. Masculine, like nothing I had ever smelled before. It was enticing. It made me want to reach for him, to know what his beard would really feel like brushing over my soft skin, what the bristles would taste like if I wrapped my lips around them.
If you want me to stop, you better tell me right now, he said.
Stop what?
Touching you.
His hands gripped my sides and held my waist tight enough to tell me he was in total control. My lips parted as a tingle shot down between my legs, and my nipples hardened to the point of pain. I was opening for him, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
Derek Block, a man said from behind him. I didn't expect to see you here, son.
His body tensed, his hands clenching me even harder.
Don't move, he told me.
Then he turned around, keeping me behind him, hiding me with his massive frame.
Randy, what the hell do you want?
His tone was sharp and accusatory.
Let's start with an introduction to the beautiful lady standing behind you.
I clutched his forearms, surprised by how firm they were. The shirts he wore only hinted at his muscular body. I hadn't expected him to be quite so cut. I leaned around his side and stole a glance. Randy looked familiar, but I couldn't place him. Derek shifted to block me again.
That's not going to happen, Randy. Turn around and keep walking. Not until I get a chance to talk to you, Randy said. Not now. But now is the perfect time.
I'd felt Derek's influence and power from the moment I'd met him, and I'd felt his desire just moments ago. Suddenly, I felt his anger. He was protecting me from this man. Why was that necessary? He turned to face me again, his body rigid.
Go inside and grab us another drink.
His tone was insistent, demanding. You don't want to introduce me?
Go. I'll meet you in a minute.
Derek.
Trust me.
His order was just like the one Reed had given me the night we'd broken up, the night my life had changed forever. Did Reed and Derek have more in common than I'd realized? What if by obstructing me he wasn't trying to protect me, but hiding me instead? And maybe Randy, whoever he was really the protector here, saving me from doing something I would regret. I didn't know what the answer was, but I knew how uneasy I felt, and how the urge to trust him was nagging at me. He wasn't Reed. I had to keep reminding myself of that. I held back my response, swerved around him, and went inside the party. I could feel the change in the air immediately. Without his body next to mine, it was even colder inside than it had been on the balcony.
16. Derek. Once Frankie was safely inside, I shoved my hands into my pockets and directed my attention at Randy. He was full of gray hair and wrinkles. Regardless, I didn't trust my fists when I was around him. How did you find me here?
Just happened to see you, son.
Let's get something straight right now. I'm not your fucking son. He shook his head like my comment had disappointed him, but I'd stopped talking to the bastard the day my father died. Any exchange since had been as icy as this one.
I taught you the trade like you were my son, he said.
I stabbed a finger into the air. No, my father taught me. We just happened to be at your job site when I learned it all.
And who do you think taught your father?
My hands could punish him in a way that would ensure he didn't leave this balcony alive. That wasn't how I wanted to take him down. Before I lost control and let my rage feed my temper, I needed to get inside and find Frankie. We're done here. I took a step and felt his hand encircle my forearm.
I gave your father a chance when no one else would. I paid for the clothes on your back and the food on your table. He was a good man, Derek. He just made stupid decisions.
You have no right to say that about a dead man who isn't here to defend himself.
Well, we all know he don't say another fucking word about him.
I pulled his fingers off my arm and released them from my grip, resisting the urge to break every single one. He crossed his arms over his chest, standing wide and tall like he was the foreman on this balcony. The only thing it showed me was how weak he was. You should be thanking me for your success, Derek. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't be building in this city. Hell, you wouldn't even be at this party. Now he was trying to take credit for what I'd built? I'd heard some crazy shit, but I'd never heard anything like this. When the time was right, I would tell him what I really thought of him, what I knew to be fact, not fiction. That moment was coming soon. In the meantime, there was a reason he'd come out here to speak to me, and I knew it had nothing to do with my father. What do you want, Randy? All these years later, and you're still following me, trying to steal my business. When are you going to step out of my shadow, son, and succeed at a project I haven't already paved for you? He was more delusional than I thought. My buildings were larger and greener, and my sales numbers exceeded his by millions. There had always been another goal in mind behind the things I did professionally. I wanted to make him suffer for what he did to my father. That required financial resources and connections. Expanding the business gave me both. This isn't a competition, I said. If you feel... Bullshit. That's why you've got your hands on Frankie Jordan, the best real estate agent in the city. Hearing her name come through his lips made my fingers clench. I wanted to rip his fucking tongue out. Doing that would only prove him right, and that would feel even worse. Do you feel threatened by that, Randy? A sly grin came over his face. No. I feel like you're going to fuck her like every other woman who crosses your path and end up with a much less qualified agent. He knew about my tendencies with women, which didn't surprise me. I'd never tried to hide it. But that was all he knew. Therefore, the fear and second-guessing didn't work on me. He could feel whatever he wanted. Nothing would stop me from bringing him down. Nice to know you keep such close tabs on my dick. I sized up the old man and ran my hand over my beard. Since you know so much, I'm sure you can guess where I'm going right now. I moved past him and headed toward the door. Your dad would be real proud. My father was the most committed, monogamous man I'd ever known. He took comfort and strength in his bond with my mother. His family was the only asset he ever needed. I wasn't the man my father was. Sex kept me fueled, and the things that took place when I brought women to my home in the city wouldn't have made him proud at all. Randy knew that, and he knew right where to hit me with it. Fortunately, I knew where to hit him, too.
17. Frankie. I was barely into the ballroom when I spotted Zach. Julia was standing in front of him, smiling as he spoke, pushing her chest out and puckering her lips. She was slowly drawing him into her tight, dangerous web. He was too new and much too naive to get involved with her. She would drain him of his potential before he even had a chance to succeed. I had to warn him. Zach, I said, sliding between the two of them. I have someone I really want you to meet. I hadn't thought this through, so I didn't know who that person was, but I'd figure something out. I just had to get him away from Julia.
Why don't you introduce him to me?
Said a voice from behind me. The wine had dissolved the stress I'd been feeling when I'd first arrived at the party. Suddenly it was back, hitting me harder than it had all day. And all because of him. Reed. His words cut straight to my core. His cologne filled my nose as his fingertips pressed lightly on my shoulder. So many memories arose of the life we had created together, of the life he had taken from me. I shifted, giving him enough room to move in between Julia and me. I looked up slowly and met the face I had loved so much. I didn't want him anymore, and I certainly wasn't in love with him now, but affection remained, and his presence still had an impact on me. I didn't think that would ever change, considering everything we had gone through.
I noticed you didn't have a drink, he said, handing me a glass of wine.
A waiter had taken the glass I had finished on the balcony as soon as I'd entered the ballroom. I hadn't had time to get another. Thank you. I knew without tasting it that it would be the same Pinot Noir I had ordered earlier. I appreciated the gesture, though knowing him like I did, there was bound to be a motive behind it. Reed Reynolds, meet Zach Mucci, one of my
junior brokers. I know.
Of course he knew Zach worked on my team. Reed always came prepared,
His eyes casually glided over to Zack. His hand followed, shaking Zack's much harder than necessary.
"I've been following your career since I was in college," Zack told him. "You and Frankie have killed it in sales. I honestly wasn't sure if I wanted to get into lending or the selling side. It was a toss-up until I graduated."
Reed had recently turned 30, which made him only 7 years older than Zack. It seemed more like decades. Zack was a novice. Reed had perfected his allure. It wasn't just in the way Reed carried himself, in his stature and his confidence. It was also in the details, in the fine polish that glossed the surface of him. He wore a light gray custom suit over a crisp white shirt, with a silk tie in peacock teal, and black Italian leather shoes that shone even in the subdued light. Freshly shaven, with teeth that had probably been bleached that morning, Reed was the prettiest man in the room. There was a time when he could have persuaded me to do just about anything. That wasn't the case anymore.
"Frankie's got a hell of a team," Reed said. "You're in good hands at Jordan International."
Reed's stare shifted to me. He was the most competitive person I knew, and judging by the look he was giving me, I had a feeling Zack was about to experience that firsthand.
"But if you ever want to join the real movers in the industry, come talk to me."
I laughed, catching the attention of both men. "I know you're not recruiting one of my agents directly in front of me." "That's where real men do it, sweetie," Julia said. "They don't bother with behind-the-back shit." The cause of our split had been kept a secret. It was the last promise Reed and I had made to each other. If Julia knew what had broken us up, she wouldn't have said that. I washed down the ugly reminder with a large gulp of wine.
"Reed, my love," Julia continued. "Where have you been hiding your handsome self? I've been looking for you. We really need to talk."
There was a time when I was positive Julia's performances had no effect on Reed. I no longer felt that way. She may not have been the slut I'd found him with when our relationship imploded, but that didn't mean he hadn't been with her since. Reed's butterscotch stare didn't leave mine, not even when he smirked and said,
"Julia, something tells me you haven't been lacking attention."
I hadn't been able to read his eyes toward the end of our relationship. I'd been afraid of what they might reveal. That fear was gone now, and what they showed was he hadn't slept with her after all. For some reason, this knowledge made me smile.
"You know me too well," Julia said.
A drawn-out giggle followed.
"Someone needs to keep Frankie's date company, since she keeps ditching him."
"Someone asked to speak to me, and I stepped outside to do just that," I said. "I would hardly call that ditching my date." I shouldn't have allowed her comment to get to me, and I definitely shouldn't have justified it with a response. The whole purpose of this party was to mingle, and everyone in this circle knew Zack wasn't really my date. Zack attempted to respond, but Reed interrupted him.
"Derek Block. That's who has your attention tonight."
A glass of wine missing from my hand wasn't the only thing Reed had noticed, apparently.
"Derek is my date," Julia said. "I honestly can't imagine why he would need to talk to you."
"Why wouldn't Boston's newest developer want to talk to the highest-selling realtor in the city?" Zack asked. "In my opinion, Frankie is exactly who he should be speaking to."
He hadn't said much all evening, but what he did have to say was impressive.
"We all know Frankie's reign is only temporary," Julia said.
There was a smear of pink lipstick across her front teeth. If I liked her even just a little, I would have told her. Unfortunately for her, I didn't.
"I don't know what happened to my date, but he appears to be missing. I'd better go make sure he doesn't need me for anything."
The thought of that made me ill.
"Save a drink for me, won't you, Reed? I'll be coming to find you in a little bit."
Zack looked relieved when she left. Reed appeared as inquisitive as when he'd first mentioned Derek's name, As for me,